Shabbat Shalom. My message today is entitled, A Sukkah Under the Stars. So as Rabbi Glenn so eloquently explained to us, Sukkot is a joyful time to celebrate the glory and power of Adonai. We are called to remove ourselves from the hustle and bustle of modern life and to seek Adonai in the peace of the Sukkah. Sukkot, like the other high holidays, is a time for introspection, to examine our relationship with God. We are also invited to look around us, to our relationships with other people, and to share the joy of knowing the Lord with them. But there is another aspect of Sukkot that I believe is sometimes overlooked. In making the sukkah, we are told to leave enough room in the roof so that we can see the stars. So Sukkot is not just about looking within or around us, but also looking up. When we look up at the night sky in the sukkah, we see the heavenly lights of our great Creator. Seeing the stars above reminds us of the glory, power, and intelligent designs of Adonai. We all need to look up and focus on the Lord instead of just focusing on ourselves or our society around us. But you know, in our society, it's very difficult to see the stars. Through technology, we have banished back the darkness with lights of all kind. And while this is very useful, it robs us of seeing the full glory of God in his heavenly lights. Most of the time, we can only see a few stars due to light pollution, unless all the lights go out. And maybe you've only seen the stars when you've gone camping, as Rabbi Glenn said, or gone to a cottage. You know, my idea of camping, like some of my brothers, is going to a Motel 6. I'm not really a tent person, but I love the stars, and I do love nature, and it's unfortunately that we have to sometimes travel a couple hours just to be able to see a nice night sky. But I remember a time back in 2003, I believe, when the lights did go out during the great blackouts here in this area of the world. I could see the night sky clearly from home and did not have to go up north to see them. There's this excellent picture from the blackout that shows the difference in the stars that could be seen during this time. And so here's a shot, I believe this is from the Toronto area, before somebody took a picture, and then after. This is during the blackout. Notice the difference in the night sky. And when you see the numerous stars in the sky in the Milky Way, it's an awe-inspiring sight. This is a picture of from North America of the Milky Way and the stars, 30 seconds of exposure, but this is an area with no light pollution. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Day and night, these stars are showing us God's glory. And they're always above us, even though we are rarely aware. You know, I sometimes wonder what the night sky would have looked like in the wilderness for our people. You know, the time Sukkot is to remind us of, to be surrounded by the harsh wilderness and an infinite night sky, to see the glory of Adonai displayed in his creation. Here's a picture of the night sky above the Sinai Desert today. This is from the Sinai region. This would have been very similar to the night sky that inspired King David through the Holy Spirit to write in Psalm 19:1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Every day, the heavens show the glory of God, the splendor of his light and his nature. And they speak in a way that crosses every border and every language. You know, the look that you have when you see the night sky, that's something that crosses all boundaries in all our world. When we look at the heavens, it stirs something deep within us, in the core of our spirits, something that God has planted within us. The sky is telling us that there is a God. His glory and power are infinite, and that compared to him, we're pretty small. The overwhelming size of the night sky humbles us to seek out the heavens and our Creator. You know, I've seen the stars a few times in a way that has overwhelmed and spoke to me personally. One moment burned forever in my memory was when I was around 11 years old at my dad's cottage up north. At that night, I went down to the beach just on a whim and lay down on my back staring up at the stars on a very clear night. If you've never done it, I highly recommend it. As I stared, though, into the night sky, I had this overwhelming feeling of the vastness of the universe, and I was suddenly struck with vertigo. I felt like I was about to fall off the earth at any moment into that vast twinkling sky. It was that moment I felt how small I really was, just an infinitesimally small point in a seemingly infinite universe. You know, when I say the universe is overwhelmingly huge, this is something that cannot be understated. When we reach space, we begin to measure distance at the speed of light because we have nothing faster by which to measure. You know, the universe is estimated to be over 93 billion light years in diameter. 93 billion years it would take for light to cross the universe. And filled with over 2 trillion galaxies, each of which are many light years themselves in size. We can't even begin to handle anything that size with our limited human minds. I throw those numbers out there, they're meaningless. You can't picture a year of light, let alone billions of years of light. But each star in that universe is uniquely made and is a work of art by our Creator. To give you some idea of the size we are talking about, we can consider this picture, known as the Hubble Deep Field. And so this picture contains tens of thousands of galaxies. It only represents a tiny fraction of our universe. And you can go on the Hubble website and zoom in and actually see more details of any one of those points of light. But this picture, containing tens of thousands of galaxies, is the equivalent of if we were to take a tennis ball and hold it at the end of a football field, and you were at the other end of the football field, and you were to look at that tennis ball. That's the amount of size of the universe that this picture is capturing. Just a tiny dot. Just a very small fraction. Several years ago, NASA released an updated picture compared to this one of our universe. This one is called the Hubble Legacy Field. It represents 15,000 different exposures that the Hubble telescope has taken over 16 years. It's 30 times the size of the previous picture, and it contains roughly 265,000 galaxies out of maybe 2 trillion. When we say the Lord is everywhere, this is the size of space we're talking about. That the power of God is demonstrated through such a huge universe with wonderful artistry. It's also a sign of an intelligent designer. When we look at each unique star and galaxy, we can see clearly that there is this artistry, that they're intelligently designed, that God didn't copy and paste the stars into the universe, but lovingly crafted each one. This clear and intelligent design reinforced the faith of great scientists like Isaac Newton, who you may have heard of. In his book on mathematical principles, one of the most important books ever written, Isaac Newton declares, "This most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being." He goes on to explain in this passage of his book how this must be the Lord and not some sort of impersonal cosmic force. That God is eternal, infinite, present everywhere, and has power without limits. You know, here's a few of those stars, galaxies, and nebula that show the great work of our intelligent designer. I just had a couple I picked out. This is called the Portopus Galaxy. Kind of looks like a portopus there. This is all on the Hubble Space Telescope website. This is a this is called the Sombrero Galaxy because it looks like a sombrero, is what its nickname is. The Cat's Eye Nebula. So nebulas are made up of gas and dust. These are called the Pillars of Creation. This is part of another nebula. Again, you can see hundreds of these on the website. And this is known as the Black Eye Galaxy. It's pretty cool. And you go on Hubble, we have pictures of from other telescopes too of hundreds. Each one totally unique and something that none of us could ever come up with all of our skills. And imagine trillions. Trillions of these, each one unique. That's the God we serve. You know, I'm reminded when I think about these things and think about the Psalms that declare God's majesty in the heavens of actually astronaut Buzz Aldrin, who during the Apollo 11 mission reflected on his journey to the moon and back by reciting these familiar verses in Psalm 8, 3 through 4. He said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." That's one of King David's Psalms. In this psalm, the heavens are described as the work of Adonai's fingers. There's this imagery here that it's like Adonai has stretched his fingers delicately across the universe, leaving beautiful stars in his wake. Throughout an overwhelmingly large universe, he has scattered these beautiful points of light, moving to a dance that we're only very now beginning to understand. There's so much in our universe we don't understand. So as we look to the stars, we see the glory, power, and infinite nature of our great Creator. Compared to the grandeur and size of our universe, we are very small indeed. But the Lord has not only created us, but has also given us a window to perfectly view the splendor of this universe. There's a great book and DVD, which I don't know if we still carry it, called The Privileged Planet. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. It goes into great detail, talking about not only are we in just the perfect place in the universe for life, but we're also in the perfect place in the universe to observe God's creation as part of his intelligent design. It's astounding to me that he remembers and cares for us so deeply, but it's true. He has remembered us time and again in our people's history, and through Messiah Yeshua, he died for everyone so that we can live forever with him, as we read in Revelation. I have one more picture this morning I want to share with you. It's a very famous one. You may have seen it. It's called the Pale Blue Dot. Carl Sagan, noted astronomer and atheist, wrote a whole book about this. So this picture was taken from a relatively close distance to Earth from the Voyager 1 probe, only 4 billion miles away, which is very small in the scale of the universe. Within our own solar system, the Earth is seen just as a tiny dot, and you can maybe see it right there in the little green square. I have one that's blown up a little bit more to make it a little bit more visible, but you probably in the back are still struggling to see it. But trust me, there is a dot there, and that is the Earth. That's the entire planet caught on a ray of light from the sun. It's on that pale blue dot that we all live. That everything that makes up the history of mankind has ever happened. We exist as a dot on a dot we call the Earth in our solar system. And the entire solar system is a dot in our galaxy. And our entire galaxy is but a dot in a huge universe. We are very small and fragile. We live on a planet so tiny that's like a sukkah in a wide universe. But the Lord has made his light shine on us. He has loved us enough to bring us to him through the sinless Son of God. Though in size we are insignificant, the Lord has given us great significance through being made in his image. In this vast and beautiful universe, He has made his kingdom on that dot. At the end of days, he will make his kingdom permanent in a new heavens and a new earth forever on this pale blue dot. Did you know that during the Apollo 8 mission, as they orbited the moon, the astronauts on board took turns reading from Genesis chapter 1 about how God created light out of darkness and created the earth. They were actually sued by an atheist organization when they got back to Earth, who were very upset that Genesis 1 was being read from space. But it was eventually dismissed, the lawsuit, from the courts for other reasons, but including lack of jurisdiction. I love that. However, these astronauts looked up to the heavens and read to the world the origin of their creation, about the Lord who spoke light into existence. They were moved by the speech poured out every day by our wonderfully crafted universe. It is natural for us to be humbled by the heavens and to seek to understand the speech they pour out. Each one of us needs to look to the stars and consider their creator and his place in our lives. We need to remember to look above and not below, looking at the light of the Lord and not the darkened, sinful world we find ourselves in. As we spend our time celebrating the joy of Sukkot and our sukkahs under the stars, may we also look up and remember our great creator. May we be moved by the glory of the heavens to focus our lives around our intelligent designer. May each one of us seek after the things above and not the things on this earth, looking above us to where our wonderful Messiah rules as we wait patiently for his return. Thank you.